talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
420.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Today is April 20th, 420, if you will, which is the day we celebrate something. I forgot what it was. Hitler, you. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's pot. It's pot day today. Those of you who are cheering, by the way, you're the reason China is beating us.
Hey, guys. You know how no one should be out alone on Christmas? Well, no one should be without a bowl on 420. Yeah!
And now.
Happy 420.
Our feature presentation.
We'll start the week by saying two words. Tim Tebow.
Well,
Tim come Tebow. On.
Crazy.
Ralph's going to be so excited.
Who could have ever imagined that he would be picked up by any team ever, anywhere, ever?
I mean, he has been gone out of the NFL for over a season, and he hadn't played much before that for a couple of seasons, it seems like. I mean, his time as an actual player on the field was very short, and it was like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, and then everybody's like, you know what? No thanks.
Not that good.
No thanks on you. You go do your thing. We're going to do our thing over here.
Right. He's been a TV analyst all of last season. Although A-Rod was away from baseball for over a season. And
take it easy. Right, but he's A-Rod.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a comparable. He's a professional athlete who's been sitting out for over a year, and he comes back and he's just crushing home runs like he never missed a day. I'm saying there is, you know, occasionally somebody is able to take that much of a break and come back and be good. But Tim Tebow wasn't that good to begin with outside of college.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
That's the point.
He's got a lot further to go.
How great was Chip's tweet, though? Of course, Tim Tebow would rise again on a Sunday.
That was pretty
well
strong.
Well done, Chip.
That was pretty strong.
Points. Well, we'll see what we'll see if Ralph comes in here in 20 minutes wearing a Tim Tebow jersey, because he is with the Eagles as of this morning. I think he's trying to make it onto the squad as their third quarterback, right?
That's I'm going to say he will not. You want to make a bet?
He won't make it as their third quarterback?
No, he will not come in
oh, Ralph
an Eagles
yeah.
jersey.
No, of course. I was kidding about that.
No, but let's bet on it anyway.
Anyway, hey, listen, generally we come on and we have wackiness first thing in this morning, and we did with a little bit of Tim Tebow, but we kind of need to address something important right out of the gate here, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about, but a lot of our listeners may not know that we lost somebody in the K-Rock family yesterday. Somebody who was very close to a lot of us for a number of years here at K-Rock, and he is our old friend Scott Mason. I mean, I wasn't shocked when I got the call yesterday, because obviously Scott had been very sick for a long time. Scott was the chief engineer of K-Rock and oversaw the engineering departments for many, many CBS radio stations, but he's been with the station since 1979. Scott Mason has been working here.
Wow.
I talked to Dr. Drew yesterday, and Drew said that Scott was one of the original hosts of Loveline. When Dr. Drew came in 1983, Scott had already been doing Loveline on and off for a couple of years. So, you know, he goes way back with the radio station. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy that was genuinely as loved and respected as Scott Mason was around here, you know, through all departments of the radio station, through all the decades that he worked here. I mean, who didn't like Scott Mason? And boy, have we made a lot of fun of Scott Mason over the years. I was thinking about that yesterday.
That's true.
That hair, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite memories of Scott, Kevin, and I'm sure you remember this, is back when we were still in Burbank, back in the old days, when we brought my goat in. Remember that?
Oh, sure. There was a strict no animal policy.
Yes.
Under any circumstances, you do not bring an animal to work.
That's right. And by the way, how awesome is it that Scott has so often looked the other way? I mean, even with the Cat Corbett bringing in her dogs all the time, you know, with Lisa May used to bring in her dog all the time. I mean, Scott Mason knew that it was against the rules and knew that he had told us it was against the rules, but he was still so cool that he let us get away with it.
I think you backed him off with a goat. So the goat comes in, Allie. You'll love this. The story at the time was that there was a chupacabra. This was when the chupacabra thing really blew up big. The Mexican folk legend about the goat. It was a goat killer, right? Is that what it was? Or how did it work, Kevin?
I think it was a goat-killing animal.
But it was terrifying little kids in Mexico and in Southern California. So I don't remember what the bit was. We did a lot of things that weren't thought out very well back then. Maybe we still do. But I happen to have a goat, my boy Kashmir. So we thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny to bring Kashmir into the radio station? I don't know why we thought that that was going to make whatever we were doing on the air better, because a goat doesn't really make a lot of noise. I don't know how that was going to help us. But we brought him in, so I'm stuck with him at the show all day long. And he is a terror. I don't know how much you know about goats. But he tried to eat everything in the radio station.
Well, goats, I think, in general, aren't pets, right?
He's an awesome pet.
But I didn't say he wasn't. I'm saying, in general, like, you don't see people walking their goats.
Well, they're not indoor pets.
Okay. They're not indoor pets. All right, that's enough. So he was running up and down the halls, and he was just pulling papers off of desks and just eating them. And he was, of course, pooping just everywhere like goats do. And Scott Mason came in. It was one of the first times I ever saw him kind of a little bit mad at us. He came in and he's like, what are you guys doing? I told you guys you can't bring livestock into the studio. And either Kevin or I don't remember who, we looked at him and we said, there's no goat in the studio.
That's when the master plan was hatched. We just thought, you know what? Maybe something will short circuit in his head. He's looking at a goat, and then we're telling him that that's not happening.
Right.
Now, at that point, he either has to go, these guys are really lying, or I'm losing it.
So we thought, hey, we've got nothing to lose at this point. Let's try there's no goat in the studio. And I think Scott just shook his head and just walked away because, you know, what can he do at that point? So that was one of my favorite memories of Scott. But, you know, he was the guy – he would have been the guy behind the scenes who was responsible for all of the live broadcasts that K-Rock does and all the remotes that we've done over the years. He would be the guy who set those up. You know, he was the guy who got the Weenie Roast broadcasts on the air and Acoustic Christmas broadcasts on the air. And
most of the time at the very, very last second.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, he sure was smart, too. And I'm happy to say that in recent years, obviously, I became a lot closer to Scott because, for folks who don't recognize the name, he was the guy that that I donated my kidney to 2.5 years ago. So I got to know his family, his mom and his stepfather and his brother a little bit, and also his girlfriend and their kids. And they were just the lights of his life. You know, I do have to say, if there's one silver lining, anytime somebody that young dies, because Scott was only a little bit older than we are. But it's that in the last couple of years, you know, he really kind of became a father. You know, he had this girlfriend with these kids that he just adored. He became a scoutmaster, and, he was able to camp with them and spend so much time with them. And I really think it was just so, it made his life so much more fulfilling. He was so happy in recent years because of those relationships. It was just really sad, though. And, longtime K-Rock listeners, may remember he was a DJ on this station. He was spacing Scott Mason for a number of years. And he loved that. He loved that.
He loved everything about this place.
He did. Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who did more for K-Rock and was more loved within the building here. But it's very sad news that we have to announce that we did lose our friend Scott Mason. And, we won't forget him. Allie, did you get to even meet him?
He wasn't around much
in recent months. But
I didn't. And everybody that talked about him, even I think last week you were saying, I haven't talked to him in a little bit. I wonder how he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody had sent an email and said that he even responded, oh, I'm doing great. Everything's fine. And always kept up this face because he didn't want people to worry about him.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I don't know how much of it was actual optimism and that's what you need when you're that sick, or how much of it was just to put it on a brave face. I talked to him last about 3 weeks ago or so. And he had been in intensive care for some time and was now in a physical rehabilitation facility, which was great because, he had lost a lot of body mass and muscle being in the hospital, and they were kind of physically rehabbing him so that he was going to be able to go home. And he did end up going home, by the way. He did end up being able to spend some time out of the hospital, and Facebook posts of him out with the kids having pizza and stuff like that. So at least he was able to do that, go home a little bit before things turned bad. But, he had autoimmune deficiencies his whole life. He had lupus. He had a lot of things that were fighting his body. So he did the best he could for a long time.
Your kidney. That can't have
my
helped.
Kidney. Yeah, exactly.
That can't have made him stronger. Right?
We're going to do the best we can to just move on today, but I did want to give him his due because he'll definitely be missed.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The most boring. droning, monotonous broadcast you can possibly imagine.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We do on Mondays. Find out what the celebrities were up to over the weekend. Always a lot of good stuff. It's amazing to me that he doesn't run out of material ever.
Nope.
But that's coming up this morning. We also have brand new Internet Roundup. We have a comedian that is trying to get a one-hour comedy. She's trying to raise money for it. And if you donate enough, she's 8 months pregnant, by the way. If you donate enough, she'll let you cut the umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You could also she'll also name her baby after you if you donate enough. Middle name only. Let's not get crazy, she points out. But still, you're helping name a perfect stranger's baby.
It's a little weird. Got to be honest, a little weird. And Demetrius Johnson will be in studio. Mighty Mouse himself talking about UFC 186. Very excited about that. That dude is one of the fastest people on earth. So that's coming up this morning.
Yeah, he's 125 pounds, but you don't want to mess with him.
At all, no. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53.
You done with that one, Kevin?
Yep.
Just, you okay?
That last 5 seconds just pissed you off, man. Yeah. Can't get out of that one quick enough?
Didn't realize the song was on that control. Just started turning it down, as I do.
Hey, we've got Mumford & Sons tickets in the first five rows to give away every day this week on The Kevin and Bean Show, including today. So tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. for their upcoming show, which is going to be at the – I should have read this ahead of time, blah, 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 blah.
I want to see.
It's going to be at the Forum August 17th. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10. You can win your tickets all week on K-Rock, including this morning. So stick around for that. Ralph is out today, but Allie McKay's filling in for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, you guys. You want to start off with a little box office, Kevin?
Sure.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Kevin wants to because he's part of this. All right. And first of all, Furious 7 crossed the $1 billion mark at the worldwide box office Friday. It's true, kids. After just 15 days, that's making it the fastest movie to reach $1 billion ever.
Really?
Isn't
that something else?
It's insane. Absolutely
I mean,
insane.
I guess it makes sense because, you know, Cargo Fast translates to any language, so this is a movie that can play in literally any country in the world.
True story.
So I guess that helps a lot. Obviously, the success of, you know, all the other movies have made a lot of those people big stars, so people are excited to see folks like The Rock and Vin Diesel.
$29.1 million this weekend. $29.1. 15 days in.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Kevin's favorite, coming in at number two, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. $24 million. What? That's
shocking.
Decent-ish, right? That's
that is scary. Very decent. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Kevin, for adding to
that. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's totally going to be a three now because of you. Unfriended came in third. Home came in fourth. Followed by The Longest Ride, Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, Woman in Gold, the Divergent series, Insurgent, and Cinderella wrapping up the top 10. Kevin, cover your ears. We're going to do a little Kings news.
Yeah.
Not a good weekend.
No.
So let's say you're knocked out of the playoffs. Let's say you're defending Stanley Cup champs. You want to go. You want to unwind. You go to Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't go to Vegas and go to a pool party at the Wet Republic pool at the MGM Grand.
Well, still you're okay.
Holding.
That's the problem.
Cocaine and ecstasy. Which is a felony in Nevada. Oops, Jarrett stole.
Now, did anyone hear how it was discovered that he had these drugs on him? I have not heard any details about
the arrest. Wondered the exact same thing because cops don't come up and go, are you holding anything?
Yeah, right. Did they search his bag going in? I can't imagine he'd be out in the open doing something, that type of thing. I've searched everywhere. No word on it.
Was he with Erin Andrews at the time, his girlfriend?
No word on that either. However, I did look at her Twitter. She was tweeting about something happening back in L.A., plus she has to do the show, Dancing with the Stars, so I would assume she wasn't there. But no word on that either. But he was booked and released on $5,000 bail.
I don't think doing drugs is the worst thing in the world, but he's a role model. You know,
absolutely.
And it's disappointing to see somebody like that involved in something like this.
Absolutely. And there's talk about, okay, what's going to happen with the Kings, that type of thing. But if you're a Kings fan, you knew most likely he wasn't going to be there next year.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Well, probably.
Possibly, but now looking not real good. Some sad news. Get ready for the death tuba, Bean.
I'm ready.
It's not the death tuba.
That's what I call it.
It's the touching, Beans touching sound effects of death.
It's the death tuba. Bahamian R&B singer Johnny Kemp, best known for the 19...
Too soon.
Best known for the 1988 party anthem, Just Got Paid, died in Jamaica over the weekend. And
I love that song.
And the fact that he died on a Friday. Like, when you get paid, that's that, right?
That's the important takeaway here, Ellie.
That's the takeaway from me. I was like, oh, and on a Friday. That sucks. But he was supposed to be doing a cruise and was found dead in the ocean.
Yeah.
Nobody can quite figure out what's going on, but his body was floating face down in the water around 9:50 a.m. in Jamaica.
DJ Omar Khan, if you're listening, we would like a little bit of Just Got Paid, if you wouldn't mind, for next hour, because a lot of people may barely or not at all remember that song, and it's a good one.
It is. Gets
Just
you going.
Just Got Paid, Friday night.
Yep.
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, it was a good
effort. I'd say those are the key moments.
That's true.
Absolutely. Something that happened on Twitter on Thursday, you might have missed it, but one of Conan's writers, we'll call him André Dubuchet. Until someone corrects me, but I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He has since deleted these tweets, but they, of course, were preserved by The Hollywood Reporter, Gawker, BuzzFeed, everything. He seemed to be directing tweets towards maybe Jimmy Fallon, other late-night hosts that he wasn't too keen about, saying comedy in 2015 needs a severe bleep shake-up. No celebrities, no parodies, no pranks, no mashups, or hashtag wars. And shove your lip-syncing up your beep. So he's basically saying what I think we have all said in here. What has happened to late night? It's more about the viral video the next day. It's not so much about the interviews and the comedy, that type of thing. Well, his boss.
Oh.
Not too pleased, Conan O'Brien. He wound up tweeting, I wish one of my writers would focus on making my show funnier instead of tweeting stupid things about the state of late-night comedy.
Boom.
Oh.
That's pretty strong.
That's really kind of harsh and made me a little nervous for Andres Dubuchet, which, again, I believe is his
sure.
name.
Yeah.
We're not really sure. Sad news, if you wanted Zachary Levi to remain married, he's not.
Okay.
Who was his wife?
Strange way to report that story.
You know Missy Peregrine?
Oh, wow, sure. That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, they're parting ways after 10 short months of marital bliss. However, they filed for divorce last week, but they separated back in December, which would be about 6 months into their marriage. So, sad
times. I know that was a big surprise when they ran off and got married. No, I don't think any of us saw that coming. But.
Yeah, they were in Hawaii, and then they said, great coffee date, and then they had pictures saying Mr. and Mrs. on their hoodies.
Yeah.
And they were...
That's too bad. We love Zach. He's great.
We do love him. And now maybe one of us could love him more, because he's divorced. Looking at you, Chip. Looking at you. Some celebrity birthdays, you guys. George Takei. He is 78 years old today.
And more popular now than he's ever been at any point in his life. Talk about a guy who has had a second and a third act. He's unbelievable.
He's a master of everything he does. Jessica Lange, 66 years old. Crispin Glover, what happened to him?
I don't know.
He is 51. He is a nutball.
Yeah, he's
a weirdo. And I love him so much. Shamar Moore.
Well, remind me next hour, Ali. We'll tell you one of our Crispin Glover stories.
Oh,
we got
can't
a bunch
wait.
Of them.
Oh, he's so good.
He's just insane.
He's such a nut. I love him. Shamar Moore from Criminal Minds, 45. Carmen Electra, 43 years old. Miranda Kerr, she is 32. And rapper Killer Mike of Run the Jewels, who, Kevin, you couldn't wait to see him at Coachella, then missed him.
That was my number one priority at Coachella.
Missed him.
And then I missed him.
Wow.
And then Travis Barker came out, and then Zach De La Roga came out, and then
well,
you didn't see any of them.
Nope. Yeah. Didn't see any of that.
And so. I believe this past weekend, Travis Barker came out as well as Z Trip and a couple other people. So, you know, no big deal. You just missed one of the best shows.
Yeah.
He's turning 40 today. I am Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
What's it like to go to a movie that has a 0% rating on RottenTomatoes.com? I can't wait to find out because Kevin did the research and went to see Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 over the weekend. He's going to tell us all about that. That's coming up. First, though, how about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Hey, Mr. Levin, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Always a pleasure to talk to you. by the way, we have a guest on the show later on today, Harvey, that you may also want to talk to on your site. Are you familiar with this comedian Kira Sultanovich? Have you heard of her?
No.
She is doing a one-hour comedy special, and she's trying to raise money for it now to shoot it with cameraman and with editors and things like that. And the hook is that she, when she does the show next month, is going to be over 8 months pregnant. And she's offering all sorts of, like, Kickstarter-type incentives, like you get to cut the umbilical cord or we'll name our kid after you. There's
oh
all sorts
God.
Of...
No, you're not serious about the umbilical cord.
Yeah. Yes. I am serious about it. Yes. So if you want to be a stranger, if you want to be a stranger in the delivery room with a comedian, this is your opportunity. But anyway, we'll email you her name. You might want to check it out. It sounds like something that might be fun on your site, I think.
Oh, that sounds hilarious. I love that.
Okay. Well, let's catch up with you. You had some good stuff over the weekend, and I got to tell you, none of us on the show are Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fans, but I know that they have a huge audience, and this Kim Richards has been getting a lot of time on your site. What's going on with her?
Okay. So Thursday morning, 1:30, she gets arrested at the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel. She is apparently extremely drunk, belligerent, wouldn't come out of the bathroom. They dragged her out. She got to the police station, allegedly kicked a cop. So she got charged with four crimes. So the underlying thing is that she has had substance abuse issues. And we have talked to various people on this show. Let me just say, this is not a group of people that are shy about talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And they're two totally different schools here. There are people in the production crew and the cast who say she is a hopeless alcoholic. She has been drinking all season long. They've been covering for her, not dealing with it, but now they're going to be forced to probably cut her from the show. There are other people in the same group saying that's not true. She's done better than she has in years. She fell off the wagon just because of the stress of having to watch the show and being brutally attacked on camera, and that this is all, you know, being stirred by a couple of cast members. So depending on who you listen to. Now, my feeling about it is that this is gold for Bravo. And the only reasons to me that they would kick her off the show is, one, if it looks like they're being irresponsible by somehow fueling her problem by keeping her on the show.
Right.
Or two, if it becomes a liability just in terms of her being so out of control they can't produce the show.
Yeah.
But those two things absent, it seems to me they're not going to count her.
And what's the insurance like for something like that? If you know she has an addiction, I would assume the insurance for the show must skyrocket.
Well, I mean, that's a really good question. And I guess the issue is this. If Kim drinks, is it the show's fault?
Right.
In other words, are they somehow liable just because they're showcasing her for her alcohol? And I don't know the answer to
that. I hope so, because when I drink, then it's K-Rock's fault.
I don't think that's
right?
Gonna work.
Is that what we're saying?
No.
You know, it is the oldest question in the book since they started doing reality TV back in the 70s, Harvey, which is, you know, once you put a camera on something, do you intrinsically change what's going to happen? Does it is it altered just because it's being, you know, recorded and broadcast, or are they just a fly on the wall and they're not responsible to anything that happens in front of the camera?
We know the answer to that. I mean, they are not flies on the wall. These things are heavily produced.
Right.
I mean, everybody, this is like wrestling. I mean, it's like the worst kept secret ever. I mean, you know that these things are produced. But, you know, on a level, you're right. I mean, they're told to act outrageous. They're told to be outrageous. And if there's any sign that they're encouraging this, or they see something that's a known danger and they're not stopping it, they might have some problems. So I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting one to see what they do.
It is. And there's no question that the next time The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is on, the ratings are going to be even higher than they
totally.
Were before as a result
Absolutely.
Of all this press. All right, let's move on to a fascinating story that I was not hip to until this morning, and it involves Sofia Vergara. This is the type of thing that ends up in the Supreme Court, isn't it, Harvey?
I don't think I even fully understand it.
Okay, I can break it down.
Please.
I think we figured this out yesterday.
Okay.
Or we figured out Saturday. So Nick Loeb, who is her former fiance, has sued her because, well, they were engaged. They fertilized an egg, her egg, and then they had it frozen. So there's a frozen embryo at a Beverly Hills fertility clinic.
Now let me hold you right there. Is that because they don't want kids right now, but maybe later?
I guess.
Okay.
I guess.
All right.
So they break up, and now she's getting married to Joe Manganiello. So she's moved on, and they don't like each other.
Right.
She really doesn't like him. So he then files a lawsuit saying that she wants to destroy the embryo. And the way the contract is written, it can only be destroyed if both parties agree. And he's not agreeing because he believes in the right to life and everything else. And I'm thinking, this sounds really weird, because then he's accusing her of being abusive and all this other stuff. And if he doesn't like her DNA, why does he want a baby? So, you know, it was puzzling. And then Saturday morning, her lawyer comes out with a statement saying that he is lying. She does not want to destroy the embryo. Well, I had talked to somebody on Friday who said she absolutely is not going to have this baby.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, why did the lawyer come out and say she's not going to destroy the embryo? And then it became kind of obvious, and we made some phone calls, and it's exactly what it seems, which is Sofia Vergara has a fan base, many of whom are deeply religious, mm-hmm. and they believe life begins at inception. And if she destroys the egg, it's going to create a you-know-what storm.
Sure.
Right, so, right.
Right? So she doesn't want to do that and trigger all that. So what she'll do is it'll just sit, because you can't have the baby unless both parties agree, and you can't destroy the egg unless both parties agree. So she'll just block it by not agreeing to have the baby. She is never going to have this baby.
I've got to imagine, then, just to be housed and be kept viable, you're essentially paying for that monthly, yearly, that type of thing. You're going to pay for that until one of them dies, right?
I guess that's true. And, you know, she can certainly, I mean, I don't know what the cost of that is, but I'm guessing she can afford it.
Sure.
Yeah.
She'll certainly pay that before she has this baby, but there's no way she's going to have this baby.
That is a fascinating story, but I would just like to close by saying, how about a little less having a baby, Sophia, and a little more cloning yourself? How about that? That's the direction we ought to all be headed right now.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes. We're saying clone Sophia Vergara. Are you kidding me? That's the only thing we should be talking about right now. All right, Harvey, great stuff. We'll send you the information on the comic. I think you'll like that.
Yeah, no, I would love to see it. It sounds hilarious.
And look for TMZ.
What's her name again?
Her name is Kira
Soltanovich.
Soltanovich. There you go. Yeah.
I'm looking for it right now.
All right. Fox TV, all over the TV today. You can look for the TMZ and the TMZ OG show and TMZ Hollywood Sports Series Monday through Friday, 3 on The Real Channel. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys.
How about you shot yourself as a phone topic coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on The Kevin Bean Show. If ever there's an audience that accidentally shot him or herself, it's going to be ours. That's coming up. Also, Mighty Mouse himself, Demetrius Johnson, talks UFC 186. That is all on the way here on The Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock for a Monday morning.
So this past weekend was Paul Blart Mall Cup.
Yeah, it was.
And in Rotten Tomatoes, it has a rating of a 0%.
Well, that was on last week.
Right, that was last week.
Yeah.
Bean, you want to refresh that now and see?
Yeah, let me hit the button here again. Now, Rotten Tomatoes, for folks who don't know, is it's a site that that takes all of the reviews from all of the sources throughout the country, newspapers and bloggers, and averages their reviews. So, you know, they have like an A, B, C, D, or, 50, 60, 70, 80, or whatever. They just average them all together. So you get an overall percentage of how popular the movie is. For instance, Furious 7 is at 82% right now, as an example of the kind of movie that's out there. Unfriended, another new movie that opened up this weekend, at 64%. So not quite as beloved as Furious 7. Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, currently, as of right now, this moment.
Right, you refreshed it. So this is going to be a new statistic.
Is at 0%. It's still right there at zero where it was last week.
Right. So that means refresh again.
Out of everyone who went to see the movie and then wrote about it or talked about it on TV, none of them liked it enough to give it a positive review.
Wow.
All right, here's my thing with critics. Critics only matter to me if they have my movie tastes. Why would I care if somebody who doesn't like the kind of movies I like doesn't like a movie? That doesn't make any sense to me. So unless they love other movies that I love and hate other movies that I hate, then why would I take anyone's word for it? However, 0% average doesn't seem good.
No, it doesn't.
Like, there must be somebody out there who is a little more forgiving of some of a movie's problems than you are, right?
I was thinking about that, and then I thought, you know, once somebody – I imagine critics sort of watch each other, and they try to be funny, and they try to be relevant. And I imagine once somebody gives it a zero, I mean, basically, you're in the position of either agreeing with the zero or standing up for this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as a movie critic, I can't imagine that you necessarily want to stand up for this movie.
Here's before we hear Kevin's review, and maybe Kevin's review is going to be the one that pushes this one above 0%. Here's a couple of comments from the Las Vegas Review Journal. During Blart's awkward convention speech, a fellow security guard is so inspired she yells, "You go, Paul Blart. Yes, Paul Blart, you go and take everyone involved with this mess with you." That's one review. The Observer in the UK. Oh, this is worldwide.
Oh, good.
"This isn't much more than a fly's fart of a film, the most microscopically tiny of afterthoughts." All right. New York Daily News, the cinematic equivalent of biting into an old brown banana. Like, what is that? I don't – what does that even mean? And here's the consensus opinion from Entertainment Weekly. A lot of people said this: "Far from the worst movie that you'll ever see, but you might leave wondering why you, the people on the screen, or anyone else in the theater even bothered." It sounds like more of a waste of time than it is just offensively awful to me.
Here's the I went to see this movie.
And how many people were in the theater?
There were other people in the theater.
Ali said it was the number two movie in America this weekend.
It debuted at $24 million. Not bad.
Look, I love stupid comedies.
Yeah,
I think there's a world for stupid comedies. And
absolutely.
And I like them. It doesn't have to make a lot of sense. It doesn't have to have a lot of heart. It's just stupid. You know,
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
Ace Ventura. You know what I mean? Like, some of those are just stupid for the sake of stupid, but stupid can be funny. I also find fat funny.
All right.
And this has fat.
Is Kevin James still fat?
He's fatter than ever.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So there's a point.
And although the storyline is stupid, he goes to Vegas because there's an association for mall cops, and then he gets stuck, and they're trying to steal all the art from the Wynn Hotel, and he's, of course, going to be the hero, and he runs around in wings and gets in Cirque du Soleil, and none of that matters. None of it matters. Here's what matters. He's fat.
Okay.
Right? 10.
Is he still on a Segway?
So that's 10%. Fanny pack.
Okay.
Fat guy fanny pack, 15%.
Wow. Oh, all right.
Segway, 20%.
Wow.
Now, you add to that, he runs into a glass pane, a window that you can't see. And I'll watch that all day. Like, if they just edited that to itself back to back to back to back, I would watch that for an hour.
I love that
it's
you
so
just
funny.
Laughed about that.
It's so funny. Because he runs into the glass, and you don't see the glass. And he goes, that's a clean piece of glass right there. There's not a smudge on that. That was funny.
All right.
And then at the end, when he's sitting on a woman, he gets kicked by the hind feet of a horse.
What?
Right? And goes flying into a car. That was funny.
Really? So it sounds to me like you just named five things that you liked about Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Yes. Now, having said that, if they were to edit those things that I liked together, it would be a four-minute movie.
Oh. But what a four-minute movie!
It might be the best movie ever made. So I'm saying, if you don't like stupid comedies, maybe this is not the one to change your mind.
Uh-huh.
If you do like stupid comedies, then wait for cable.
But you've seen much worse movies than Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
None
right?
of them are coming to mind right now.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's bad. I just think it's stupid to give it a zero. I think that's just you being...
How did you feel when you left the theater? Did you feel ripped off, or did you feel like, I wish it were better, but it was okay. It was fine.
Here's what I thought. This is what went through my mind. I'd like to see that scene where he runs into the glass window.
Say no more.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Hey, did producer David King of Mexico say that we are world premiering a brand new song next?
He did, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, he did.
Panic at the Disco, new music called Hallelujah, coming up next for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour, here's our friend, Ali McKay.
Good morning, guys. I want Kevin to be able to revisit Paul Blart in just a second, because we're going to go over the box office. Coming in number one, Furious 7 at $29.1 million. That means that they have crossed the $1 billion mark worldwide, which is just insane and
huge.
In
2 weeks,
in
right?
15 days.
Wow. Yeah, they're printing money with that franchise.
Right. Coming in second, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, debuted at $24 million. And Kevin, you said you just left out a big tidbit.
I did.
One of your favorite parts.
Well,
what was
it wasn't
that?
My favorite part. It's at the end when he foils the crime and he's
hey,
the
spoiler
hero.
Spoiler alert here for folks who are still going to see Paul Blart 2, by the way.
Anyone still going? Let's be honest, that was a one weekend movie. He spoils the guys that are trying to, you know, steal all the art, and then he says always bet on Blart. He says always bet on Blart.
Yay!
Maybe that wasn't a
yeah. We went to commercial, and your exact words were, oh, I left out one of the best parts. No, you didn't.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. Moving along. Coming in at number three, Unfriended. That debuted at $16 million, followed by Home. Coming in fifth, The Longest Ride, Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, Women in Gold, The Divergent Series, Insurgent, and Cinderella came in at 10. Goodness gracious. Some casting news for you guys. I'm sure, as you know, and you're excited about it, Independence Day 2. Coming in June of next year.
Okay.
We've already got Jeff Goldblum, Judd Hirsch, newcomers Liam Hemsworth and Jesse Usher. And you were probably worried.
Was this the Will Smith movie?
It was.
It was. Okay.
It was. Will Bill Pullman, who was president, will he be back? Yeah. Just confirmed. He will be. So calm down, everybody. He will be back.
How about Will Smith? Is he in the movie?
They have not said that. However, Jesse Usher will be playing the son of the fighter pilot played by Will Smith.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so at least maybe they didn't go to Jaden.
Yeah, no, they went to Jesse Usher, which is nice. I don't know who he is. I'm going to Google him. He sounds delightful.
I don't want to see... I don't care about an Independence Day movie without Will Smith. Do you?
I wouldn't think so.
Isn't he the draw?
You would think he would be. But then again, Liam Hemsworth. I mean,
hey. Let's be honest.
How are you doing? Right? Donald Flynn. Have you heard about this new Ferrari movie? Supposedly going to be directed by Clint Eastwood. All about legendary car maker Enzo Ferrari.
All right.
Big rumor. Well, over the weekend, one Robert De Niro told an Italian newspaper he would be playing legendary Enzo Ferrari.
No kidding.
Robert De Niro, right?
That'd be pretty good.
Bean?
I mean, Clint Eastwood knows what he's doing.
He does. Clint Eastwood makes great movies. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you tell a story. I assume that Mr. Ferrari started as a young man. I'm just trying to picture how 75-year-old Robert De Niro plays him. You know,
he went out on a limb with that one, huh?
Yeah.
He definitely started out.
I assume he was younger.
I meant his career. I mean, how do you show the story of him building that car empire when at some point he's got to be in his 30s and 40s if you've got Robert De Niro playing it? I'm just trying to do the math in my head. That's all.
Got it. Some other casting news, Penelope Cruz joining Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, and Will Ferrell in the sequel, Zoolander 2. Ugh, I'm in. I don't even care. I don't even care
who's in that movie. What if the critics give it a zero?
No, there's no way. What if they do? They won't.
All right.
It's Zoolander 2. I'm already giving it at 90.
Okay. You don't know anything about it?
Nope. Don't need to. Pete Rose is coming back to baseball, you guys.
In what capacity? As a fan?
I think he never stopped being a fan, even after being banned in 1989. But he is coming back to Fox. He's going to be appearing in pre- and post-game shows from the Fox studios. And you may be saying to yourself, well, what about can he travel with the teams? No. He's still not allowed in broadcast areas inside Major League Baseball stadiums. But
I didn't realize it was that far.
Isn't that shocking? He can't even go to a baseball stadium and broadcast from there. He has to do it from the Fox studios.
That's funny.
That's kind of weird, isn't it? Very sad news that we got a few weeks ago about Zayn Malik leaving One Direction. And just when you thought you were over that, you guys.
Do not. I don't want to. You're not.
Don't tell me Biff is going to leave next.
There is no Biff.
Oh, there's no Biff?
I
can't keep them straight.
He is. We all know.
How about Monty? Is Monty still with them?
No, Monty is still with them.
All right.
In the bus somewhere. You know Morgan Spurlock. Super Size Me, 30 Days, whatnot.
Well, he made the movie about them.
Exactly. He 2013, okay. He was with them. One Direction, This Is Us. He spent months on the road with One Direction. Well, he just came out over the weekend and said, you guys, Harry's next. Don't get too used to One Direction being just four guys now.
Wow. If they lose Harry, they've lost the hearts and minds of the world.
Ugh, it is over.
He's the most popular One Direction.
I would think so. wouldn't you?
Yes.
Harry Styles, I think is his
We're guessing.
Name.
Bean knows.
Yeah.
And that scares me.
Yeah. I mean, Harry and Monty, I think, are the heart and soul of
true.
One Direction.
Although, I'll always love Biff. He was my first.
Talking about some birthdays, Jessica Lange is 66 years old today. Dodgers manager Don Mattingly is 54. Shamar Moore from Criminal Minds, he's a babe. He's 45. Carmen Electra, 43. And Miranda Kerr turns 32. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. Walking the Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Panic at the Disco right there. This is, it's 7:06.
How fun is that song, by the way? I love that.
Yep.
It's pretty strong.
Called Hallelujah, available now on iTunes if you want to check that out. New album due later this summer. That's a world premiere here on The Kevin and Bean Show. All right. We never know how these phone topics are going to go, but our audience has done almost every dumb thing you can imagine. So usually we have some confidence when we throw a topic out there that somebody out there has experienced it. So we have the phones open right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for your stories of you accidentally shot yourself with a gun.
Now, we shouldn't have to say this, but we always do. If it's disastrous, we can't really handle anything emotional. So it needs to be something we can laugh at. Because that's going to be our default position. Even if it's a disaster, we're going to laugh because that's all we have. So.
Yeah. For instance, if you died, if you shot yourself in the head by accident and you're dead, don't call us. We don't want to hear from you. That's too serious.
Great point.
That's a good tip.
There was a guy, by the way, this just occurred to me this second. We had a story. I don't remember if we did it on the air or not. It was a couple of months ago. It happened in Mexico. A guy was taking a selfie of him holding a gun up to his head, and he accidentally shot himself. Wasn't intending to shoot himself. Meant to take a picture of it. Instead, pulled the trigger.
Did he get the picture?
It may have been the last picture he ever got, Kevin. Mm-hmm. So he won't be joining us. But if you accidentally shot yourself, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. We see stories all the time, by the way, people have guns that kind of go off in their pants and, you know, take their nuts off or something. That's really more what we're looking for.
Well, yeah, I mean, this story that we're going to play for you right now, the news audio from it, I mean, this dude had a loaded gun in his pants at church.
Well.
He was at church.
Yeah. And things go down.
He stood up and the gun went off. In church.
We were standing for a few minutes, and just before the final procession started, the gunshot went off.
At first, Wagler says, no one seemed to know what had happened. Some people thought a speaker blew, but then Wagler saw smoke.
I immediately kind of took a step back and was about to take cover. You never know what somebody, you know, you never know if you're safe anymore in this world, and it's a shame to know that you can't even go into church without having something like this happen.
Police say a man had a gun in his pocket and it went off when he stood up. The bullet grazed his hand. The local newspaper says the trigger caught on the man's pants. The gun safety was not on.
So the last thing you expect when you go to church is to hear a gunshot.
I'm with that guy. That's the last thing you expect.
That does happen so often, though, where especially guys have a gun in their pants. Wouldn't you be way too terrified to keep a gun with the safety off in your pants?
Well, I mean, it is aiming at a place you don't want it to hit.
But even that aside, wherever the gun goes off and shoots at, if it's unintentional, if you're not pulling the trigger on purpose, it seems like you'd want to do everything you can to make sure that doesn't happen. But it happens all the time.
Do you think this dude forgot he had it?
In his pants?
I mean, why? I know, but why when you go to church? Is a gang warfare going to break out in church?
Things go down. You want to be prepared in church.
Well, maybe he was just one of these guys who just carries a gun everywhere he goes. Maybe that's part of his deal. You know what I mean? But no bueno. So 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you if you've ever accidentally shot yourself. You know, we've had no shortage of throughout the years talking to people who have lost various body parts. We may hear from some of those people again. So why don't we start with our man Guillermo? He's in Monterey Park. He's going to get us going here on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Guillermo.
Hi, good morning.
You shot yourself accidentally.
Correct.
Okay.
Love it more. So happy right now.
What happened?
It was a CO2 BB gun, and I didn't know there was a BB in there. Uh-huh. I didn't even know there was a CO2 gas in there. And I pointed it to my hand just to see if it'll go off. And sure enough, it went off, and the BB was in there, and I had to get it surgically removed.
All right. So your test to see if it was loaded was to shoot yourself in the hand. That's how you're going to decide if it was loaded?
Correct, because I didn't see a BB in there at all. I didn't hear one rattling in there. So I pointed it to my hand thinking that I'm just going to feel the air pressure. And sure enough, it went off and it was loud and it didn't come out to the other end.
First of all, BB gun, pretty weak sauce. Right, we're talking guns here. That's what we want.
Yeah, in a perfect world, we want guns, real guns.
Second of all, why didn't you put it up against the ground or against the wall or against something else rather than your own hand?
I don't know. I mean, I was inside a room. I didn't want to risk that if a BB go flying in there, bouncing around.
Okay, yeah, because then you might accidentally get hit.
Yeah.
You didn't want that to happen. So I just put it right on your hand. Did you have to go to the hospital? Did they have to dig in and remove it?
Yeah, I did. And it was a pretty painful process.
I'll bet.
Had
good times.
Surgery. And the x-ray was pretty cool. I was able to see the BB gun in my hand in the x-ray. They let me keep it.
Sweet.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Win-win. So it all ended well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thumbs up. All right.
Scar here.
All right, Guillermo. We've learned a valuable lesson. Be like you. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Maria. She's in Norwalk. She's got a different kind of gun for us, but this sounds like it might be fun.
All right. Maria, hi.
Hi, good morning.
You shot yourself?
No, my husband. Oh. My husband was working and carrying a nail gun on his, on his tool belt.
A nail gun. I didn't think about a nail gun.
Yes, a nail gun, and it shot out into his thigh here and his right leg twice, and he didn't even feel it.
What?
What?
What do you mean he didn't feel it?
No. He said afterwards that they're thin nails, and they just like, and then it feels. He said it felt a little warmth or something, but he didn't feel it till hours after, and then they sent him to the doctor.
So it had embedded all the way into his skin, the nails?
Yes.
Twice?
They were inside.
Oh.
He had to have like a minor surgery to remove them, and it was like, I was like, you're kidding me. How could you not feel that going into your... He said, I did it, you know?
Is he a drinker?
No.
I'm just trying to figure out how you wouldn't notice.
That's amazing.
That's a high threshold of pain.
Yeah, he said, he has he used to play soccer, so he has nice big thighs and muscle legs.
Ooh,
and
Maria.
I don't know if that was up. I don't know, but...
But if he used to play soccer, why didn't he throw himself down on the ground and just start screaming hysterically like he'd been shot in the head?
I don't think that was her point.
All right, Maria, thank you so much for calling. Go Dodgers. We appreciate it. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Abid, I accidentally shot myself. That's the call we're looking for. We'll talk to you next year on K-Rock. Talking about a man in Altoona, Pennsylvania, who accidentally shot himself while he was in church. And I was saying, I see a lot of stories in the news about people whose guns go off in their pants, and no, that's not a euphemism. Zach writes in, Kevin and Bean, what you guys are referring to is the Mexican carry, where the firearm is in your pants pointed at the family jewels. One, it's not a smart way to carry, obviously, and two, the people who are smart about carrying wear them in holsters first and then inside the waist or on the ankle. Safety or not, a lot of people in our area can't legally conceal carry, so they probably wouldn't have a holster. Plus, holsters aren't gangsta. Love you guys, Zach. That's a good point. Holsters are not gangsta.
But is no penis gangsta?
No, it's not either.
I don't feel like that is either.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got a good batch here. Why don't we start with our man Trevor? He is in Moreno Valley. He's on line 3 to get us going. Brandon, please hold on. Alex and Tom as well. We'll get to you soon. Hey, Trevor.
Hey.
You shot yourself.
No, not me. A buddy of mine works for a police department, and he was showing a new trick to his buddies on how to do with a slide and pop around in. And the slide hooked back and shot the bullet off and went into his leg.
Oh, that's got to be so much worse if you're a professional. Like,
yes, if you're a cop and you've had all that gun training.
Yeah, a little embarrassing. He should have put a dummy round in there or something.
Right. I don't know how to react to that.
Yeah.
It's odd. That's an odd thing.
Yeah, don't shoot yourself in the leg, police officers. That's what we're saying.
Tip.
We're totally with you. All right, let's go to Brandon. He's in Sun City. He is the shooter and the shooty. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You shot yourself?
Yep.
What happened?
I just got off of a very long shift at work and proceeded to drink a little bit. And I was going to clean my gun.
Oh,
good. And, that's a good mixture. Go ahead.
Outstanding combination so far.
I just kind of basically forgot there was a round chamber. Went to go pull the slide off. You have to pull the trigger to pull the slide off and discharge the round into my left thigh.
Your left thigh. Thighs seem to take most of these bullets.
Yeah, they do. Let me ask you this, Brandon. How long do you have to have a gun before you get to the point where you are relaxed enough about it to not be that sure whether there's a bullet in the chamber or not? Like, that's all I would ever think about if I had a gun, is whether it was loaded.
It's being too comfortable.
It's too comfortable, right. But Bean's asking, how long before you lose that initial fear of what if it goes off?
I think it just comes like that in the beginning, and then it takes something like that to actually get the fear back in you.
I got you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much damage was done? What did it hit?
It just went pretty much through my muscle, my quadricep. Pretty good hole. Enter and exit wound, and pretty much just patched up myself. Didn't want to go to the hospital because I was scared of police involvement.
Sure.
Wow. Now that's gangsta, by the way.
Right there.
How about that, Brandon?
Pretty good hole in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, 45 caliber.
Yeah. 45. Oh, wow.
44, 45, whatever it takes. All right, Brandon, you are awesome, sir. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Alex in Cyprus. He's up next, line two, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about you shot yourself. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So, actually, I had a coworker. He used to work the graveyard shift, and he accidentally shot himself in the foot while he was taking a nap in his car.
While he was taking a nap? Did he move accidentally, or how did the guy?
I don't know what he did, but he ended up going to the hospital, and then the following day he got fired because you can't have a fire gun at work.
Because you can't fire a gun at work.
You can't have a firearm at work.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Gotcha. That's the worst alarm clock I've ever heard, by the way.
He's an aggressive napper.
Right? It's a terrible nap.
It really is. It's the opposite of waking up well rested and ready for the day. All right, Tom, Santa Clarita up next. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, so my dad's got tons of weapons, and I was out in the backyard shooting at metal targets with an assault rifle, which was rusted and not spinning around. And the shell casings were going off and sticking on my leg, and I thought it was just a warm shell casing. But no, it was a perfect hole about midway down my leg. But I kept shooting. I didn't really feel it, didn't notice. One skimmed my buddy and left a little cauterized mark on my buddy. And
Wait. Just because the casing is super hot, or you shot?
No, an actual bullet went into my leg.
It did.
The casings were flying off and hitting my leg.
Right.
So I thought that's what it was. But then I couldn't figure it out because it kept getting hotter and hotter. It felt like if you ever get a lighter really hot and touch your skin, it started to get that kind of hot.
Right.
So I looked down, and it's a perfect hole that you could literally stick a pencil in. Because the round was so hot, it cauterized the thing. And I had to walk back to the house about, I don't know, a quarter mile, and it didn't bleed until I got to the steps of stepping into my house.
Wow.
Didn't hurt, it burnt, but it didn't. It was amazing. It didn't do anything. And it stuck in my leg. A lot of it's still in there.
It's still in there today.
So when you go through security at the airport, does that set off the alarms or anything?
No, they went in, they got a lot of it out, and I think they probably got the metal casing, because an assault rifle bullet has a metal casing around the outside of it, and it's lead in the middle.
Right.
So I think they got the metal casing out. There's just little chunks of lead that kind of
flap in there. Good times, though, man. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. All right, we got to close with one more just because of where he got shot. This is going to be Johnny in Rancho Cucamonga on line three, please.
Hey, Johnny.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. You shot yourself.
Yes, I used to work in a Wild West show outside of Las Vegas, and I was spinning guns, and I accidentally missed the holster and shot myself in the left cheek.
Yeah! In the butt cheek.
I did.
Now,
you use actual bullets in the Wild West show?
Well, no, this is out in my backyard. I have a couple acres out there, and, I was just practicing. I thought the safety was on, and unfortunately.
So you're practicing with a real gun what you're going to do with a fake gun in the Wild West show.
Yes, I was. And it was embarrassing. All my friends knew about it. I had to go to the doctor and get a couple of stitches.
Sweet.
It was very embarrassing. I took a bullet in the booty.
We were ready.
In the booty.
Good Lord.
I hate that guy. All of a sudden, I'm not so dumb for seeing Paul Blart, right?
That's right. Look, Ralph's out today, Allie, and Kevin's just trying to step up and do some voices for you. That's all.
Nobody
was spot on, man.
No. We don't have time for impressions now.
Hey, 25 minutes from right now, the current and only UFC flyweight champion of the world, Demetrius Johnson, will be here. Mighty Mouse himself talking about UFC 186 this weekend in Montreal. Very excited. Looking forward to that. First, though, how about on a Monday morning we hook you up with a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse in.
and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Rambo.
Our producer, the King of Mexico, David J. Sanchez. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys.
Dave, by the way, two weekends in a row at Coachella with Las Vegas in between. He's a baller, right?
And a Clipper game.
And a Clipper game last night.
Wow.
He gets a lot of rest during our show.
He does. He certainly does know how to use his time. All right, Dave, it's another good batch of Internet Roundup videos. You can see at KRock.com or KevinAmin.com. This video of the silverback gorilla attacking.
Oh, man.
It's terrifying. You go to the zoo and you see these animals that can kill you, and they're behind what you hope is a very, very secure piece of safe glass. This silverback comes up and just bangs on the glass and shatters it. And I don't know what happened afterwards, Dave. Did you see the extended version? Because this family just turns and runs as soon as this monkey comes after
them. As they should.
Listen, I mean, you can hear how hard this glass was hit just by listening to this tiny clip. Again, this is a silverback gorilla who's coming from the other side of the glass at the zoo.
Oh, man.
And they are turning and running.
I saw that in Paul Blart.
It is. Yeah. It's a clean piece of glass right there. No, that's a terrifying video. Here's a couple of Star Wars videos for you this week, with the, of course, with the new trailer that just came out last week. And this first one I just think is so brilliantly done. The guy took all the flying ships from Star Wars and brought them into Los Angeles. So you actually see, like, you know, bridges and everything around Southern California. You see the Hollywood sign, you see the Chinese theater and everything, with, you know, all these Star Wars planes going overhead. It's just, it's insane. It's called Star Wars Invasion Los Angeles. You got to check it out.
Pretty genius.
That was a TIE fighter attacking the Queen Mary, if you couldn't tell, but, you know.
Sure. Imperial walkers going down the street, just taking out cars. I mean, it's astonishing. It really is. Here's a great mashup. Somebody took Matthew McConaughey, that scene where he's watching all the video from back home, and he's bawling his eyes out, and they edited it together with his reaction to the Star Wars teaser trailer. And, Ali, you will sympathize with this because you cried just as much as Matthew McConaughey does when he sees the trailer.
All right. Strong in my family. My father hasn't.
And then he just starts bawling. That clip doesn't really do it justice.
Not really at all. That's a bad clip.
I don't know why somebody got the idea to parody the opening of the Louie TV show. You know, Louie, where he's walking down the street, he gets the pizza, and he goes down to the comedy club. Well, somebody decided to do that with Chewbacca, who is shot for shot imitating Louie's opening of his show. And, of course, they put it to a very appropriate song as well.
I love that.
It's so well done. It really goes up on stage.
I want to watch that show.
That was done by our buddies at the Nerdist.
It was.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And he goes up on stage and he starts doing stand-up in Wookiee. I mean, it's really, really great. Dave, what's the history of the original version of Hey, Y'all Got a Cigarette?
It's this chick who's like, she has her own YouTube channel, and she does a character where she's like this redneck chick. So she did this one video where it's a quick vine, and you see it in this video, and they remix it where she's asked for a cigarette, and they tell her she tells a person to F off because they say we don't smoke. So they remixed it.
And of course, nothing counts until it's made into a remix, and that's what happens here.
Hey, y'all got a cigarette?
We don't smoke.
And Omar gives us 2 seconds of that. So that's
what I like about this video is he shows you how he remixes it. He shows you the way he builds it, and then he plays a song for you, and it's pretty cool.
That always makes things more magic when you can see how they're done.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. All right, here's the most terrifying video of the week on the Kevin Mead Internet Roundup. I mean, I was so nervous watching this thing. This guy is filming this woman who parks her car on the I-5 down in San Diego. And then she gets out and she just starts wandering around the freeway. Now, at one point, she wanders back to her car. Now, she's sitting in her car on the freeway, like in the middle lane, and cars are just whizzing by her. And this guy with the camera is banging on her window trying to get her to get out of the car because he's terrified that she's going to get rear-ended, and not in a good way. Listen up.
Get out of the car! Get out of the car! You're going to get hit by a car! Lady, your life is in danger! Don't stand in the road. Don't stand in the road. They're going to hit you.
I thought bad things were going to happen at the end of that video, man. Dave.
This was a scary video.
Yeah, it's really something else.
This guy's head is about to explode, dude, because he just can't get his head around.
Well, you know something bad's going to happen. Terrible, you're there watching it. Yeah.
Here's a guy I'm unfamiliar with him. I've not seen him before, but he does an impression, one right after another, of Robin Williams from his stand-up and also from almost all of his movies. And it is maybe the best Robin Williams impression I've ever heard. Listen up.
Good morning, Vietnam! We interrupt the sucky weather to bring you this.
All right, let's talk about your medical records. You've set some.
And by the way, his face looks just like Robin Williams when he's doing these voices. I mean, it's just uncanny how much he's like him. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
This turned into a viral video last week when it was uncovered that Sizzler had done a promotional ad. I guess it was probably an in-house. This couldn't have ever aired on TV, right? This had to be like for restaurant managers or something like that. But it is from 1991, and it is 5 minutes of the cheesiest video you've ever seen in your life. You can't believe this little patriotic-sounding song you're about to hear is them talking about Sizzler, but it is.
They want good, basic home cooking. Quality food, and they want choices, variety, all at a reasonable price. Americans want value.
Sizzler brings the choices that you've been looking for.
Yes, yeah. Sizzler.
They couldn't get Bruce, right?
I swear to God, it's like you're watching a campaign ad from the 80s. It's so awesome.
But they ain't lying, man. Love that Sizzler.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel had all of the Avengers on his late-night talk show the other night, and they played a spirited game of Family Feud. Everybody in the Avengers cast is terrible at Family Feud, but there were a few high points.
Besides superhero, name a profession that requires you to wear tights.
Mark. Trapeze artist.
Trapeze artist. All right. That's really the board.
As soon as he says it, he's super embarrassed by that guess. And then it's on the board.
It was cool seeing Jimmy host a game show again. It reminded me of the old Win Ben Stein's Money days. All right, a couple more videos in this week's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. This one is very funny. This is called Email in Real Life. And this is, well, exactly what it sounds like. What if the conversations you have via email actually happen with your office workers? It's pretty good.
Here's that report you needed.
I don't see anything.
Oh, dang it. I forgot to attach it.
Hey, Beth, did you see all the submissions we got today?
OMG, I know!
Easy on the all caps.
Sorry.
It's okay. Semicolon, close parenthesis.
I can't wait till we make Kevin's tweets in real life video.
How dare you? That's a great idea. Up next is John Oliver, who, by the way, has just been killing it with his Last Week Tonight show over on HBO. He did a piece on the IRS about, by the way, this is great news for you, Kevin, is the IRS is so broke, their funding is so has been so much taken away that they're barely auditing anyone anymore. So they're finally off of your ass after all those years. But John Oliver did a very funny piece on the IRS, and he had a special guest as Michael Bolton stopped by to sing about everyone's least favorite government agency.
But we need you real bad, though it's clear nobody really likes you. You're the anus of our country, don't you know? Tell me, how are we supposed to live without you?
First of all, the anus of our country is awesome. But yeah, second of all, Michael Bolton is so smart. Ever since he started showing up in those Saturday Night Live videos where he realizes that people make fun of him, so he makes fun of himself even harder than you possibly can, and it kind of makes you like him, right? He does such a great job with it.
Yeah.
He does. And Dave, I'm going to let you set up the last video this week because I know it's your favorite.
It's Amy Schumer's Milk Milk Lemonade. Show comes back tomorrow night, and this is from her episode.
You say you don't like asses because I fart and break your glass.
Okay. All right. Finally, we have a modern version of the children's classic Milk Milk Lemonade Around the Corner Fudge is Made. It's from the awesome Amy Schumer. You can see that video and all the rest at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. That is Muse and Dead Inside at 7:56.
Hey, we want to send you to go see Mumford & Sons in the first five rows all week long. We'll have tickets for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including today. So if you want to win tickets in the fifth row for Mumford & Sons, keep on listening. Don't forget, tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock for their show coming up in August at the Forum. All right, Ralph is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, filling in for the Showbiz Beat, here's Alec.
Hey, guys, sad news. You perhaps know him best from his hit song in 1988, Just Got Paid. Johnny Kemp, singer, R&B artist, has passed away.
Now, when you say we know him best, what are some of the other things we might know him from?
You know him only from his hit song, Just Got Paid.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
That's not him. That's a different guy. Could you refresh our memory? Could we hear a little bit of that, please? Just got paid.
Money in the pocket.
I like it.
That's this, and this is it?
I think so. I'm afraid that's all I got for Johnny Kemp, but I did like that song. I'm sad to hear him. He passed away.
Yeah, not only passed away, but he was found in the ocean in Jamaica. Face down.
Oh.
Yeah, not good. Nobody really knows what happened so far, but he was down there to perform on a Fantastic Voyage cruise, which is all very sad all around.
It is a shocker because black guys are usually great swimmers, so I'm sorry to hear that happen.
How dare you?
Bean at krock.com.
Bean at krock.com.
How dare you?
Some Leonardo DiCaprio news.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Which is really the only reason I'm doing the story, because I love to hear you say that. But remember those Sony Pictures leaked emails?
Yes.
Well, a new one just came out, according to Radar Online, saying that this big environmentalist, you know, he goes around just preaching all about saving the earth. Well, it turns out he took a private jet 6 times in 6 weeks last year. That's not great when you're trying to save the earth. Maybe spread out those flights.
I remember when that was revealed about Al Gore, who is Mr. Environment, that he was private jet guy everywhere. But I guess that's just how guys like him and Leo roll. I mean, that's just their normal mode of getting around, right?
You would think, yeah.
I mean, look at it from his point of view. What, you know, how much of a nightmare would it be for Leonardo DiCaprio to get on a flight? You know what I mean?
I agree.
Any flight. Yeah. Shut up. I'm serious.
What's his name again?
Shut up.
Just say it.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Exactly.
I can't say it right no matter how many times.
I love it so much. Bad news for the Kings. We heard about it over the weekend, and we still have no news on how this all went down. But arrested Friday, Jarrett Stoll. He was at the Wet Republic pool party at the MGM Grand, and he was arrested on suspicion of possessing controlled substances, such as cocaine and ecstasy. Oh, not good. Not good at all. That is a felony in Nevada. Not good. Kings are gathering facts, trying to figure out what actually went down. Was his bag searched? Was he out in the open? I guess it doesn't really matter how it happened, because it's not good. Not good for the Kings.
Kevin, are you ready to admit that Chips, Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff is better than your Kings, Jarrett Stoll?
No.
Okay. Very well. Very well. Not. All right, some celebrity birthdays for you guys. George Takei is 78 years old today and more popular.
Oh, my.
Yes, oh, my. More popular than ever. Jessica Lange, 66. Crispin Glover, 51 years old.
All right, here's the deal.
I knew it.
Years ago, Crispin Glover was due to be on our show. We had it set that he was going to be a guest on our show. But it turned out that morning we were broadcasting live from somewhere. Do you remember where it was, Kevin? What kind of live show were we doing?
I remember it involved livestock.
Yeah, it did involve
like
livestock.
Racing cattle or something.
Of course it did.
I don't remember exactly. So, it was a bad idea, whatever it was.
So Crispin Glover, either we set up a car or his people set up a car, but they went around to his house and they picked him up and he was supposed to be a guest on our show. And he didn't know we were out of studio. So then when he showed up at the live broadcast, he wouldn't get out of the car. He would not come and do our show because we weren't in the studio. We were in a live event in front of people, and he freaked the F out.
Oh.
How did it turn out, Kevin? Do you remember? I remember the tantrum, but did we eventually get him?
No.
Or did he eventually just turn around
and
went home,
right?
No, he
just told the guy, take me home.
Yep, he wouldn't do the show.
We may have been giving away Rams tickets. Could that have been possible?
It might have been. We might have been doing Ram races or
Rams.
Ram wrestling or something.
I mean,
But we had him on a number of other times. I mean, we did have him in the studio. He's a fascinating, fascinating guy. I mean, he really is one of the all-time weirdos.
Oh, yeah. But, I would love to get in that brain and just
super talented guy, too. But, yeah, I'll always remember that he was one of the few guests that came all the way to the show and then wouldn't go on the air and turn around and went home.
What do you mean you won't get out of the car? We couldn't even get our heads around that.
It was awesome.
Oh, goodness. Carmen Electra, she is 43 today. Rapper Killer Mike from Run the Jewels, he just turned 40. And Miranda Kerr is 32. And one of my favorites, Blossom's Joey Lawrence. We've been hearing impressions all day, Kevin. Go ahead and do yours.
Do I have one?
Do your whoa.
Whoa.
Well, that was really more Alf than it was Joey, but
I don't think I did that.
Whoa.
Even worse.
Okay. He's 39. Regardless, I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman with the show.
This Saturday night, April 25th, it's going down at the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec. We're talking about UFC 186. At the top of the card is Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse himself, who joins us in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Demetrius?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
Hey, it's our pleasure. We're excited to meet you. We've been watching you for a long time. You are the current and so far only UFC flyweight champion. And how long have you been fighting now?
I started training when I was 18. I'm 28 now, so 10 years. I've been in UFC since 2011.
You started training, I was reading, because you were watching The Ultimate Fighter, and you just thought they looked like they were in good shape?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
So you didn't train to fight. You just trained because you wanted to be in good shape.
Exactly. And at that time when I was training, there was no weight class for me. You know, I weighed, you know, at that time, probably 129, I would assume. So there was no weight class for me. I just trained because I wanted to be in shape and defend myself, and things led to another, and here I am today.
What was the lowest weight category in the UFC at that point when you started working out?
I think it was 170.
Wow.
Lots of weight.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you were quite a bit then.
Not even close.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm going to have to start eating like crazy.
Yeah. And then I think it was 170 because Sean Sherk, he fought at 170. Then he became the 155-pound champ, the lightweight champ, when they finally opened the division that was – catered to his size.
Huh. What was it that flipped a switch where you went from, hey, I'm just working out to get in shape, to, hey, now I'm going to start fighting? Like, who talked you into that?
It almost kind of felt like high school to me. That might sound weird, but, you know, when you graduate from high school and you start working full-time job, there's no extracurricular activities for you to do outside of, you know, anything else. So I started training, and then they're like, hey, we're hosting some amateur fights. You know, would you want to try it? And I was like, sure, why not? And it kind of reminded me of wrestling. And I went to my first amateur fight, won it, and I was like, okay, cool.
You won it? You won your first one?
I won my first one. And then I went back to work on Monday and kept on training. And next thing you know, there was another one and another one. And then I started doing jiu-jitsu tournaments. Then things just kept on rolling. And my coach was like, you should do this. You should do this. And then
I like that you just sort of like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's fun. That's how I was. You know, I tell people, I was like, it was a hobby. Like, you know, my friends will go out, party, do their things, and street race. And I'll be like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and train. And like, oh, I'm fighting Saturday. You guys should come watch.
So the furthest thing from your mind for a number of years, I would imagine, is that you were ever going to go pro and make a living doing it.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you remember the mindset the first time you stepped in the ring and fought? I mean, do you remember, like, were you scared? Were you just, I don't know what's going to happen? Were you amped? Were you?
No, I wasn't scared. I was like, okay, I was going out there to fight. And then when I was beating him up, I took him down. I was like, okay, got to work my stand-up, just like Andre Arlovsky. And I got up, and I lit him up, and everybody goes, what are you doing? I was like, I got this. And then threw a couple punches, took him back down, and then ended up finishing him. So I kind of remember. And when you wrestle, I didn't wrestle my entire life, but when you wrestle at state competition at Tacoma Dome, it's a big deal. Like, it's a big event. So I've been there before. So fighting under pressure or competing under pressure or in front of the fans, it's nothing new to
me.
No
big deal.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this, Demetrius, because obviously, you know, you're pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world right now. But there was a time before that where you were just a little person in high school. I mean, at 125 pounds, what's life like for you? Did you get picked on a lot? Because you were so small?
Yeah, I got picked on, not like physically, but like, you know, hey, short stuff, or hey, the Brave Toaster, because I had a, you know, I had waves, and I had, you know.
Sweet.
I had a part, so they called me the Brave Toaster.
Sweet.
But I wrestled in high school, so nobody really messed with me, because they knew, like, if it was to go down, that
we were going
to
take him down.
I was going to take them down. I remember one guy, I picked him up and slammed him. He goes, you ever do it again, I'm going to break your arm. I was like, that's not going to happen.
You said, should I do it now?
Yeah.
Let's give it a try.
So is being a UFC fighter, is it what you thought it would be?
I don't know how to answer it because I never knew what it'd be. It's always different because what attracted me to the sport of UFC wasn't the lifestyle and all that stuff. It was the people working out and being well conditioned. Like, I didn't care about punching people or hurting people. So for me to answer that question truthfully, it would be a lie. You know, I'm living a life. My wife ain't got to work. I ain't got to work. I mean, I do work.
You work a lot. Oh, you work.
I work hard. But yeah. It's something I love to do, so I don't see it as work. So,
do you think you have defended your title, what, five times now? Four times? How many times?
Five times now.
How do you, I was thinking about you as I was watching some of your fights over the weekend. I was thinking, and I hope this is fair to say, but I almost feel like you're kind of in a Ronda Rousey situation, which is the problem is finding people that are as good as you to give us a competitive fight. It seems like the flyweight division is not stacked right now. Am I wrong?
I don't want to say you're wrong or, I mean, the division is stacked. I mean, we have, so you take the context of, you know, Ronda Rousey. I mean, Ronda Rousey's on a whole different planet, and she has, you know, a couple few competitions here and there, you know, with Kat Zagano. I don't know what the hell she was thinking when she fought her.
That was crazy.
Yeah, and she has Holly Holm and all stuff, but, you know, you look at the flyweight division, you have guys like John Dodson. You have a lot more killers in the flyweight division than Ronda Rousey has in her division. So for me, I've already fought those guys before, and I'm slowly just going down the ladder.
Well, that's my point, is that all of the best people you've already beaten. So what's out there for you?
No,
you know?
They're still up-and-coming guys. You know, we got Kiyoji Horiguchi on Saturday.
I don't know much about him.
You know, he's a great Japanese fighter. He's 15-1, and he's very elusive when he fights, kind of a karate background. And he's a great fighter. But, you know, there's Joseph still in the weight class. You got John Dodson. You have Anthony Pettis' younger little brother. There's so many guys in the division that I haven't even fought yet. But the guys with the bigger names, I fought them already.
So you've got this big fight coming up Saturday. You're doing a ton of press this week. And then you add to that a huge life change. What happened, 4 days ago with you?
I had my second born child, Maverick Allen Johnson. So it's part of the job. I mean,
are you sleeping at all?
Yeah, I'm getting some sleep. My wife, she's doing most of the
point.
I'm off the boat.
Wait, you don't?
Great point.
Nope. I don't lactate. Sorry. All right.
Did you a week or two ago at least make a joke like, hey, maybe we could hold off until after the fight?
You mean,
I get some downtime?
To your wife.
Oh, to your wife. Oh, I thought you were talking about sex.
No,
that's not happening until sometime next year, Demetrius.
No, you mean,
I'm saying, you know, you're going to have a baby soon, but.
No, not at all. Like, that's the biggest thing. You know, I see a lot of fighters, and everybody has their own choice of how they want to live their career. But I'm a big fan of family, and to where it's like, I'm not going to put my career on hold. My life on hold, excuse me, so I can live out my career and my dreams. Like, I don't want to – and for some people, they wait till they're done with their career. They're 45 and they have children.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong with that. But for me, I'd rather have my children when they're young. That way, when I'm done with my career, when I'm 38 years old, I can walk away from my sport. And my son's, you know, 10 years old.
Right.
I can be like, all right, my daddy's done with his career. I'm going to go get a day job. Now, when you start putting the work on the field and wrestling that, I'm going to be there. And it could be the vice versa. When somebody's 40 years old, they can have their kid. They'll be 60 years old or
yeah,
50. So that's just the way I wanted to live my life.
Well, congratulations on the baby, though, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Seriously. I, you know, like Ali said, I mean, I'm sure you'd rather be with him right now, you know? So this must be a little bit tough for you to be out there doing all this press, but you're getting it done. So congrats.
Hey, those bills got to get paid. Ain't nobody else going to pay them.
UFC 186 is this Saturday night, by the way. The main card airs on pay-per-view, of course, like they do. We'll talk more with our guest, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Stephen Davis from Monrovia, thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. You just won tickets in the fifth row for Mumford and Sons. They are going to be tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock for their show August 17th at the Forum. If you want to buy those tickets, get all the details at KRock.com, and we'll have tickets in the fourth row for you tomorrow. Right now, we are catching up with Demetrius Johnson. He is UFC 186, and it's coming up this Saturday night at Montreal in Quebec. Now, Mighty Mouse, are you complaining about? What are you complaining about with you being the redheaded stepchild? What do you mean about that?
You guys are complaining.
Well,
about
we asked you if you'd thrown out the first pitch for the Mariners. You live in Seattle.
Yeah. No, I have not, and you guys are very shocked by that. So I was just giving you guys
you're a huge sports star in the state of Washington. I would think they would be all over wanting to have you come out there.
Yeah, I think we're more of a football city, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're more of a, you know, Seattle Seahawks. And I totally understand, you know, it's about the 12th man, and the city feels they are the Seattle Seahawks. Like, they feel like when they lose – they lose.
Yeah.
When the Seahawks lose, I don't lose. So when they win, I don't win. They win. We had a huge argument in the gym. We're like, man, we played good last night. And one guy goes, dude, we didn't do a dang thing. Like, there was Seattle Seahawks. And he goes, no, we won. And it's like, no, you didn't win.
That is a fascinating way to approach your fandom, because so many people consider that they are part of the team when they root for them, right?
Yeah. And it's a 12th man. So that's why I can see that, you know, Seattle is a big football city, and I am totally fine with that. It's awesome.
You deserve your respect as a proud Washingtonian, man. That needs to happen. What about your fans? Do you hear from a lot of fans of yours in the UFC? Do people send you stuff?
Oh, yeah. I get fan mail all the time, and, you know, I'm out here in L.A. I get so much more love outside of Washington State than I do ever. Like, when I'm in L.A., people are like, oh, what's up, Mighty? Hey, we going out to the club tonight, man. You trying to come? I was like, nah, man. It's 11:30. I got work in the morning. Y'all don't work on Monday? So I get a lot of love outside of Washington State than I do when I'm in Washington.
Isn't that people just – they're just used to you there, I guess, maybe, because you've always been there. Tell me about the card. It has been troubled, to say the least. There's rarely been a UFC card that has had more substitutions or changes in the weeks leading up to the fight. But you are going strong, and you're still at the top of the card.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's very unfortunate about the sport. I mean, TJ Dillashaw versus Henna Brow, they've been scheduled to fight multiple times, and you know, TJ suffered that rib injury. Mm-hmm. Heal up well, buddy. And, you know, Rampage Jackson, they had that altercation where he was signed to Bellator, then he went off and signed with the UFC.
Oh, it was legal trouble, right?
Yeah, legal trouble. I don't know how the lawyers missed that from the UFC. Shame, shame. And then people just keep getting injured. So it's part of the sport, but the card's going to go on, and we're going to put on a great fight.
I love your weight class so much because you're so unbelievably fast. You and everybody, it's like you have to watch it in slow motion so you can see what's going on. It's just insane. Do you like fighting guys that are super, super quick? I mean, obviously they're your size, but...
Yeah, I like to fight guys I just like to fight guys in general, I guess you can say.
Can you knock somebody out with one punch? I'm sure you can.
I can, yes. Okay.
Most fighters, it seems like in your weight class, they sort of can avoid getting hit that strong, and sort of there's not a lot of great knockouts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not always about how hard you hit. I mean, there's a little bit about it, but it's always about hitting a person with a shot that they don't see. Like, when I knock people out there, they wake up and they're like, I didn't see that coming, you know? If somebody can preamp, you know, the shot that's going to be hit dealt to them, then they're able to preamp it. The body's ready to take that blow. But, you know, if you get sucker punched in the back of the head, the reason why you get knocked out is because you don't see it coming. Your body's like, I don't know what just got hit, what I got hit with. I'm going to shut down, and hopefully the person will leave me alone.
Who hurt you the most in the octagon?
Ooh, I would say Dominic Cruz. I would say there was a point in time we were fighting. He hit me, and I was like, that was a good, good shot. And I looked at the clock, and I was like, how much more time do I got left for this round to be over? Because I am hurting. Like,
now, he was the last guy to beat you, right?
Yes.
And that was, what, 3.5 years ago or something? I mean, you had a pretty good run here.
Yeah, that was in – yes, that is correct.
Did you look at the corner and go, hey, and how long was it when you were in that position? Because it was a shot. Five minutes is forever.
It was a shot to the body. And I looked up, and I had a big hematoma swollen on my cheek. And I looked up, and it was like maybe 2:30 left. Maybe 2:30 left. So, but he's
might as well be an hour. That's actually a word that you can't say on the air.
Sorry, we have a normal conversation. I'm enjoying it. The chemistry is good.
You're feeling loose.
I'm feeling loose. Yeah. I was like, we fine for 30 minutes. I was like, Lord.
All right. Is today your last media day, and then you just it's radio silence until Saturday?
No, I got media and obligations on Montreal on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. All day tomorrow, I'm just flying. I'm going to fly out tomorrow at 11:30, get Montreal at 7:30 their time, and train, and then wake up Wednesday morning early, do media, Thursday media, Friday weight cut, Saturday go time.
And Sunday, you're going to be so happy when you wake up, and you'll still be the champ, and it'll be behind you, and then you'll have a few months to rest, right?
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Let's say you win. What do you do afterwards? Do you celebrate?
Well,
do you let yourself go for a week?
Well, since it's in Montreal, I'll be getting done fighting around, like, you know, 12 o'clock at night, and then it'll be 2 a.m. after the press conference, so I'm going to go to bed after that.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
When I get home, I just chill, relax, you know, I drink a little beer, and That's about it.
You just don't have to be as disciplined. It seems like leading up to the fight, you have to be so disciplined.
Yeah, and I like to eat healthy. Like, you know, people are like, oh, man, what are you having for dinner? And I was like, having a chicken breast with asparagus.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
That sounds bomb to me.
You owe yourself an ice cream cake after this fight.
Oh,
come on.
Don't get me wrong. You know, I have my, you know, my white powdered donuts from Hostess.
All right, okay.
All right, now we're talking. We just want to make sure you're human, Mighty Mouse. That's all. Yeah.
But, like, I'm a sweet guy.
Yes, you are.
With a potty mouth.
All right. UFC 186, Johnson versus Horiguchi. It's this Saturday night at the Bell Center in Montreal. Contact your pay-per-view provider and see that fight. I have all the confidence in the world with you, Mighty Mouse. I know you're going to win this thing. It's so great to finally meet you. Like I said, we've been following you for a long time, so please come back and see us anytime, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Comedian Kira Sultanovich joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin Amin Show. You might not be familiar with her name, but you're going to love her story because she is trying to put a comedy special together at 8 months pregnant. If you donate enough money, you get to be in the delivery room with her and cut the umbilical cord. Now, that's a Kickstarter benefit right there.
If I donate more, can I not be there?
I think that's possible. Okay. Plus, we're going to play for you again a song we world premiered earlier this morning, which is a fantastic new song from the band Panic at the Disco called Hallelujah. That is coming up on K-Rock. First, though, we broke some very bad news when we came on the air this morning, and a lot of people can't be with us that early, so I did want to mention again, because he certainly is due the respect here on K-Rock, a guy that has worked for K-Rock since 1979. Passed away yesterday. And it's always tough to lose a member of your family, and that's what we feel like here at K-Rock, and especially one who is so young, but it's our friend Scott Mason. You've heard Scott on the air with us many times over the years. We've done things with Scott on the radio. A lot of people kind of became more familiar with his story 2.5 years ago when he was the guy that I gave the kidney to. He was the kidney donation, the other end of that kidney donation. And, you know, one of the things that I remember most about Scott is, you know, he had a lot of health problems his entire life. You know, the older I get, the more I realize that health and family are really that's 90% of what's important in the world. As much as we obsess over so many other things, if you've got health and you've got family, you've got people around you that love you, and fortunately Scott did have that, then you're most of the way home there. But Scott was so sick and had lupus from the time he was little and had all sorts of autoimmune deficiencies and problems in and out. He was, of course, you know, he'd already lost his kidney and then been through a cadaver kidney for 10 years, and then he had lost that when our surgery came about. He'd already been back on dialysis for 2.5 years. But you never would have known it from working with Scott or talking to Scott, because he put on such a brave face. Nobody had any idea how sick he really was. And I'll never forget basically having to hammer out of him, what's going on with you? Because he looked so terrible when he finally broke down and said, I need a kidney. I'm on dialysis and I'm not going to live until I get a kidney. That's when we started the process of me donating a kidney to him. But if I hadn't hammered him about that, he wasn't the kind of guy who would have gone around and said, hey, I'm really sick. Can anybody help me? He carried that burden privately.
It was the opposite. He said, I'm fine.
Yeah, he would say, I'm fine, right? He didn't want anybody to know how sick he was, and he was sick for a long time, and he handled it so bravely and with so much grace. And, you know, we're going to be hearing a lot here internally inside the radio station. Everybody has their favorite Scott Mason moments. But, Christine, you and I were talking earlier today, assistant producer Christine Fung in the studio with us. Scott was very special to you, too, as one of just the nicest people in the building, right?
Completely. So my very, very first day just as a van driver. It was a summer job, you know, when I was in college. And
we let you drive?
Yes, you did. Yeah, he was the one who had to approve our driver's licenses. Scott did a lot of things at the station. I mean, he was also, by the way, not just, he didn't work for K-Rock, he was the director of West Coast Engineering for CBS Radio. So even when he was sick, he was constantly traveling up and down the coast when he would go see Bean, even to help him set up his studios. But here at the station, he was the person who handled even the smaller things, like making sure that all the drivers were qualified. Even when I started this job, and at this point I'd been working for K-Rock for 14 years when I started working for you guys, you know, he'd be here really early in the morning. And it's not easy to start a new job, even with people who you know and love for a long time. And it's 5 in the morning and everyone's grumpy. It's just how it is.
That's
how
it works.
It's just how it is. And it was really hard for me in the beginning. And every single day I'd stop in to see him and he'd just be like, how's it going? We'd chit-chat for a few minutes about nothing but everything, whatever. And it was just like my little escape. Every single day he would just like, he'd check in with me.
He was more positive than Christine.
Yes.
As if that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's amazing is with all the personal struggles that he was going on with his health, he was such a positive, upbeat, friendly person who was always there willing to help people. And you're right, Christine, he was involved in so many different things here at K-Rock, as I said, going all the way back to 1979. I talked to Dr. Drew yesterday. Drew said, you know, Scott was one of the original hosts of the Loveline show back before even Dr. Drew got here in 1983. Mr. Weatherby sent out an email yesterday saying that, you know, when he was hired back in 1992, Space and Scott Mason was what his name was on the air, was already a fixture and had been for many years. And he was, you know, you couldn't find anybody who understood the past, the legacy of the radio station, but also was willing to work so hard for the best of the future. I mean, he cared more about this place. This place really was, you know, so important to him his whole life. And he certainly didn't have to keep working as hard as he did for as long as he did, but he continued doing it because he loved it and he really loved the people here and he really wanted to see the station continue to do well. And it's just, it was such a, you know, even though we knew he'd been sick for a long time and we all suspected we might outlive Scott, I think it was a little bit of a shock when it finally came down yesterday. You know, you just don't expect a day, whatever day you wake up, you don't expect that's going to be the day that you're going to lose your friend.
Right. And like you said, none of us knew like how serious it was. That's the thing, is he wouldn't tell people, so we don't know if he's super sick or if he's okay.
Yeah.
You wonder a lot, but you just don't know with a guy like that because he doesn't complain ever.
Right. The last time I talked to him was about, and I mentioned this earlier, forgive me if you were with us, but I talked to him about 3 weeks ago, and he had been in intensive care for some time, but was out and was in physical rehab, and it looked like he was very much planning on going home. He's like, you know, I just lost a lot of muscle and body mass being in the hospital for the last month, but they're doing physical rehab, and I should be able to go home in a few days, and he ended up being able to go home, which I'm so grateful for. And it was awesome, even though, you know, he was married, like a lot of us, he had a starter marriage. He was married once very young, but never married as a grown-up. But in recent years, he had a girlfriend with a family that he just adored. I mean, I'm so happy for him that so late in his life he was able to discover some of the feeling of being a father, because he had those kids that he was able to go camping with and take diving and do all sorts of fun stuff in recent years. And it's great that his health was good enough that he was able to do some of that stuff with young kids in the house. But man, he loved those kids and he loved that family. He loved this business and he loved this radio station. And we're all a lot weaker today because Scott Mason's not with us anymore. But as a guy who was on the radio here starting in 1979, you know, we owe him a lot, and we you know, we appreciate him and we miss him and we love him, and we just wanted to kind of put that out there because I know a lot of people have kind of grown up with Scott Mason being a part of K-Rock. So we miss you, man. We love you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Hallelujah. Brand new music from Panic at the Disco coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Good morning, guys. A huge congratulations to Furious 7. Over the weekend, they crossed the $1 billion mark in worldwide box office. That's after just 15 days, making it the fastest movie to reach $1 billion.
That's crazy.
It's so unreal.
I haven't looked it up yet, but I mean, that has to be on the list of the biggest grossing movies of all time now. It's got to be like in the top 20 or something like that. It's been out 2 weeks. It's amazing.
Yeah, 15 days. Are you kidding me? Ugh. Of course,
Kevin, have you been back to see it yet?
I've seen it twice.
Okay.
There you go.
Then Kevin was a big part of that as well. Furious 7 made $29.1 million this weekend. Kevin, a big part of Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. It debuted at $24 million, which we were all saying, wow.
Surprising, right?
Surprising.
There were people in my theater.
If you missed Kevin's review earlier, you're going to want to go back and listen to it. He was killing himself laughing reviewing the movie.
Yes, he was. Look, it's not one that I would... There are certain movies that you would vouch for. Like, you go, oh, look, I love The Hangover, and I can't understand how anybody wouldn't. I can understand, perhaps, why people wouldn't like
this. But you did say in its 90-minute runtime that it's got about 4 minutes that really made the film worth going to see, right?
Still makes me laugh.
Oh, so good. Coming in number three, a debut at $16 million. That was Unfriended. Home, fourth. Fifth, The Longest Ride, followed by Get Hard, Monkey Kingdom, Woman in Gold, The Divergent Series, Insurgent, and rounding out the top ten, Cinderella. Some casting news for you guys if you are wondering, well, will Bill Pullman be reprising his role in Independence Day 2. Will he?
Why are you talking like Thurston Howell III all of a sudden? Where's that coming from?
Not sure. He will be, is the answer. He will be the president again Well, I guess he won't really be the president in Independence Day 2.
When was the first movie out?
Like 1996, so he probably won't be president in the movie.
Okay.
Maybe he'll be consulting, as presidents do.
Maybe his wife will be president.
Could be.
They rip it right from the headlines.
Rip from the headlines. But of course, Jeff Goldblum, Judd Hirsch, they will be back, as well as newcomers Liam Hemsworth. And playing the son of Will Smith will be Jesse Usher. No word on Will Smith, which seems odd. So that would be why you'd go,
I'm
right?
I'm guessing you would lead with that.
I would think.
And they would as well when they wrote the story if he was in it.
Well, then again, I don't know how much we trust this thing. You may be saying to yourself, Robert De Niro, what are you doing? Why don't you play Enzo Ferrari in a new movie? Well, he will. That's what he said. No.
Why would I say that?
Yeah, you would, and you did earlier today. Right. Clint Eastwood will be directing said movie. It's all about the life of Enzo Ferrari. And as Bean brought up earlier, he wants to know who's going to play the younger Enzo, which would make sense if it's his life story.
Yeah, because I think he was, you know, in his 20s or 30s or something like that when he started the company. But it might be an interesting story. I don't know much about Mr. Ferrari.
She should make a movie about him.
Right?
But De Niro and Eastwood being involved, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a good start, if you will. So we had talked, was it last week, about Rob Lowe talking about how you don't go on evening shows anymore, like the Late Late Show, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, without having a hook. You don't just go on to promote your movie. You have to juggle. You have to have some sort of act. Well, one of Conan O'Brien's writers agrees. Andres Dubuchet, we believe is how you say his name. He went on a bit of a Twitter rant last week, saying things such as, comedy in 2015 needs a severe beep shakeup. No celebrities, no parodies, no pranks, no mashups, or hashtag wars. You can shove your lip syncing up your beep. And a lot of people agreed with him.
Right.
One person that didn't really need to see those tweets was his boss, Conan O'Brien, who tweeted yesterday, I wish one of my writers would focus on making my show funnier instead of tweeting stupid things about the state of late night comedy.
Oops. I'm guessing the phone call behind the scenes was not quite that nice.
Yeah. So the writer has since deleted his tweets, but of course those live on forever.
But you know, there is something to his point. I'm not saying he should have tweeted it. That probably wasn't the best for him, since he's got a job writing for a late night show. Where do you go for conversation about, you know, between interesting people anymore? Because now, like Rob Lowe says, you go on a talk show and you're not there to talk. You're there to lip sync.
Yeah. Oh, you know? I agree with him 100%.
There's no question the format has changed so much.
Yeah. All right. You want to talk some birthdays? George Takei is 78 years old. Dodgers manager Don Mattingly is 54. Actor Crispin Glover turns 51 today.
All right, hold on. You got some Crispin Glover for me, Chip?
Yep.
Let's hear it.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, I confess. This is you've been a mess. And now someone else is getting all your tests.
This is real.
Yeah. These boots make me walk. And that's just what I'm through. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you.
Why is that happening?
Oh, I love him so much. He's an odd pickle.
He's not one of those guys that just plays odd, right?
No, yeah, I think it's
not.
In him.
Really weird.
It is in him. Carmen Electra turning 43. Miranda Kerr, 32 years old. And rapper Killer Mike of Run the Jewels, who just killed Coachella the last couple weekends, turning 40. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat.
We've been doing the show for a long time, as the kids know, and we've had thousands of guests over the year, but I don't think until right now have we ever had one come in and say what Kira said, which is, I pee easily. Are these seats washable?
Yeah, that's pretty much our introduction to her.
She is very pregnant and may give birth at any minute. Please welcome to the studios comedian Kira Soltanovich. Hi, Kira. How are you?
Thank you so much. I am going to do such a Kegel. Do not worry. I will not give birth in here.
Okay,
I am
good.
Really good.
We appreciate that.
It's just a lot of just control. You can hold a baby in.
You can?
Yeah. It's like having to go to the bathroom on a long road trip. You just hold it.
Okay. Are you positive about
that? I'm pretty sure. Okay, right. I read some books.
Now, Kira, you have a fascinating story right now. You're on something called Tube Start, which, by the way, I am unfamiliar with. It's kind of like Kickstarter, but different.
Porn.
You're raising money for porn. Because it gets very expensive, you know?
Sure.
All of those tests, and you got to pee in a cup.
Sure.
It's like the Kickstarter, so that's where you get the start from. And I didn't start the website, but you also can put your stuff on YouTube, so they put together Tube Start.
Tube Start.
Yeah.
All right.
I see now.
Your video came to our attention because you are raising for an artistic project. You are trying to put together a one-hour comedy special. Now, you are a professional comedian. You have many, many years in the business. You're a regular on Jay Leno's Tonight Show. And you've done comedy specials before, right?
I have. I shot a couple for Showtime, and I was actually approached again to do a one-hour special for Showtime. But when you do that with outside producers, you get zero creative control. Mm-hmm. You get zero editing. You don't get to choose what the final product's going to look like. And I'm at a place in my career where I was like, you know what? I just have to do this on my own. And I think also something shifts. Like, I'm a parent, so I have a kid already and another one on my way. And your comedy is like your baby. So it'd be like literally handing my baby over to someone again and just going, hey, just raise it. Make sure it's not a douche. Okay, go, go, go. And I just wanted to do it myself. So back in September, I was like, I'm going to shoot a one-hour special. And then I can't keep my legs closed. And in November, I'm pregnant. So I still wanted to move forward. I had an investor. The investor, pulled out. And
well, the husband didn't.
Exactly. And now I realize I got to go the route that everybody else is going nowadays.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. All right. How pregnant are you right now?
I'm very... 3 weeks. 3 weeks pregnant. No, I'm between like my sixth and seventh month.
Okay. So when you shoot your special, how pregnant will you be then?
Between 7 and 8 months. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. I thought you were making it a lot closer to the end line.
Oh,
I thought,
you wanted me to show up like in a gown?
Yes.
With like an IV thing on stage?
And she's dilated 2 inches?
Oh. Yeah.
I thought you weren't even going to start the special till you were dilated 2 inches.
You know what? I could be 2 inches dilated, actually. That's very common.
Do you have any friends that go, hey, why are you going through with this at 8 months?
A lot. Yeah. A lot. Most of them have never had kids, though. You get this spurt of energy and, like, I can do anything in your second trimester.
Okay.
And I'll be in my third trimester when we shoot the special, so I will regret it then.
Okay, right. But not
for
now.
For sure. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, because most 8 pregnant ladies, as far as I know, they just want to lay on the couch and bitch. That's all they're into at that point of the pregnancy, right?
Absolutely. You don't have to do that on the couch. You can do that anywhere.
Just
you can do
that on stage for that matter.
I am worked a lot during my first pregnancy, on the road, constantly traveling, up until my doctor literally snatched my passport out of my hands and it was like, sit down.
Wow. You're having a baby in 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just said, I'm going to do that again with this one. So I've been working. I travel like international. I do not stop. This is my job. This is how I pay my mortgage and my drug habit. And I have to work.
Now, what's the goal and how close are you?
The goal is, the real goal is $30,000.
$30,000.
Yes.
Okay. And where are you right now?
We're about five.
5,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're what? Just about a week in, though. So you've still got
just
some
a week
time.
In. We have 3 weeks left to go.
Okay.
And we have some great, you can contribute $5. I've done that to a lot of Kickstarters before. So $5, 10, 20, 20,000 if you want to name the kid.
All right, let's talk about some of the specific prizes that you have, because this is what really caught our attention, because you are offering some things that have never been offered for donating to a campaign before.
Well,
when you talk about you can name the kid, explain.
Okay, I've never done a crowdfunding before, but I researched a lot, and a lot of the big ticket items, the ones that are like thousands and thousands of dollars, were something insane and really cool. And, not only if it's like a movie, you get an executive producer title, but there were other really great perks. And I thought, well, what else can I offer? And then, boom, I looked right down at my big old belly, and I was like, I could give the kid away. And my husband really frowned upon that.
How much do we have to donate to get the kid?
He said no. He's such a romantic.
But a lot of people are looking for white babies to adopt.
I know. And we could be on that show Vice, and it would really propel my career in a different place. But I thought, what about the middle name? I negotiated with him.
The middle name. Because he said, no first name, no way.
Well, you know, look, I am a Soviet Jew, so we already have some bad choices in my family. Okay. You know, we have some Igors, and it's okay. I love my nephew, but he was worried. You know what I mean? He was a little bit worried.
I can see that.
And so I didn't want any Russians naming the kid. That would have been bad. But I thought, well, what about the middle name? And he said, okay, you can, we have to make sure that it is not like, you know, hey, you suck or something.
Right. If it's a legitimate name, you'll use it.
But what if they give you $20,000, but they want to name your kid you suck?
Well,
you are getting the $20,000.
Yeah, we will have, in the, there are lawyers involved.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. There are no
There's
lawyers involved. There's no lawyers.
Okay.
That costs
There's
money.
No fine print either.
I'm going to do a crowdfunding for the lawyers. I said we will highly consider. We will work with you, and we will definitely take your suggestions.
Okay. Bean is a great middle name, by the way.
You know what? Honestly, it is. Everyone already calls their kid Little Bean, right?
Kobe Bryant's middle name is Bean. Francis Bean Cobain. I mean, there's a history of Bean, so I'm actually thinking about anting up here, Kara.
Okay,
I think we can work together.
We take MasterCard, Visa, personal checks.
Okay.
I'll just need
All right, what about, and this is the voice of Kira Sultanovich, by the way. You can go to TubeStart.com or KiraComedy.com or just do a Google search for K-I-R-A Kira and she'll come up. What about being in the delivery room with you and your husband as the little tyke is born? That's an actual option that you bring up.
Yes, it is. Why not? This is my second kid. It's not all romantic. There are not going to be any butterflies that come out of my uterus.
It's not like it's special.
No, it's the second kid. Look, this kid, it's a girl. She's going to have to learn to get a personality because mommy's busy. And my husband's already cut the cord on the first kid. He's done it. Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't just someone in the room. You are actually going to have them cut the umbilical
cord. The cord. Now, look, if you can be in Los Angeles where I'm delivering, and at whatever time that happens, right? Because we don't know.
Be available. Sure.
Yeah,
you just get a text when it's time, right?
Right.
It's go time.
And it's like, I got Obamacare, so who knows? You know what I mean? And if you're there, great, fantastic. But look, if you have 25 grand, you probably have a private jet, right? Everybody has a private jet if they have that money.
Sure.
So you can get yourself to Los Angeles.
Are you secretly hoping that somebody comes through with that option?
Absolutely. Look, I've been doing stand-up for so many years, and I have not, I've not been more passionate about a project that I am producing and performing in and myself. I've never been this excited, and I've done a lot of stuff in showbiz and all the facets of comedy, but this is really big for me, so I figure why not?
I love it. I love it.
There are a lot of answers to why not, but I'm just going to accept it. That's all good.
All right. 3 weeks to go. Still trying to raise the last $25,000 out of 30 to get this comedy special made. It will be the Kira Sultanovich one-hour comedy special. And then when you are funded and when the special happens and when you've recovered from the baby and you've done the editing and everything, then where's the show going to be? Where's it going to be shown?
Well,
or do you not know yet?
That's going to be to the highest bidder. I'll have to get pregnant again.
Wow.
See a pattern.
I love it. I think it's awesome, Kira. I wish you the best of luck with the pregnancy and the special. So happy you stopped by today.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Ralph will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, filling in on the Showbiz Beat one more time, here's Allie McKay. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, guys. You know that Pete Rose was banned for life from baseball in 1989.
Yes.
He is back.
In baseball?
Yes. Ish. He's going to be returning to Fox as a Major League Baseball analyst for the season.
Hmm.
Which is interesting because he is actually not permitted in broadcast areas inside of Major League Baseball stadiums, which I didn't know it went that far.
I didn't know it was that complete.
I thought it was just the Hall of Fame, but no, apparently not. But according to Fox, he's going to appear on pre- and post-game shows from the Fox studios.
I'm just so surprised that anyone cares what Pete Rose thinks about anything that's going on in the game.
Really?
Well, I mean, maybe he's a good, if he's a good broadcaster, then it doesn't matter if you care about him, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen him broadcast because he's been banned for so long.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Boy, I don't know if you ever saw, Allie, that that 30 for 30 mini doc that they did on Pete Rose and his sad life living in that mall in Las Vegas, signing baseballs.
Yeah. It's
brutal.
It's not good.
My God, it's terrible.
I mean, on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, there's Pete Rose sitting behind a little folding table just waiting for anybody to come in for his autograph. It's kind of a sad way to go.
Very, very sad.
For like a dollar.
Also a sad way to go, face down in the ocean in Montego Bay. Very sad way to go. Bahamian R&B singer Johnny Kemp, you might know him from such hits as, or just this one, Just Got Paid from 1988. Remember this?
Wheel in the sky, nope. Keeps on turning.
That might have been another one of his hits, lesser known.
I've actually got it here, Kevin. Okay. This is the Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid. I love this song.
Nope, that's
it. That's Amy Schumer.
I'm sorry. I missed that. Sorry.
Not a problem. Well, his song Just Got Paid, it's Friday night. Big hit song. Okay, just there it is. It's Friday night. Party So he was scheduled to perform on something called the Tom Joyner Foundation's Fantastic Voyage Cruise, but he was found in Montego Bay. Apparently, he drowned.
Oh.
Yeah. Not good. Not good at all. And I made the joke in the 5 a.m. hour, which was incorrect. I said how sad that it would happen on Friday, which is a payday.
Right.
And apparently it was Thursday in Jamaica. So I apologize not only for the joke, but it's being incorrect.
Untimely.
Yes. Apologize right. to everyone.
Sort of a double apology there.
Yeah, really, yeah. Which kind of cancels it out. But
so you're 0 for 2.
0 for 2 is really...
Oh, wait, hold on. Just getting receiving word. He was just swimming. He's actually alive and he's fine.
Well, good. Good. So if you're on that cruise, enjoy him. He's actually...
What's that, Kevin? What are you doing there?
Just pressing buttons?
Oh, it's just a mistake.
Okay.
Zoom, zoom.
That's true. We all are still reeling from the announcement of Zayn Malik leaving One Direction. Well, now comes even more bad news, if it is to be believed. Of course, in 2013, there's a documentary, One Direction, This Is Us, done by Morgan Spurlock. And he traveled with all the guys from One Direction, spent months with him, and he just came out this weekend and said, oh, that band's not staying together. Next to go will be Harry Styles. Do you believe that, Kevin? You okay?
Wait. Harry's leaving?
Might be, if he is to be believed.
I need a moment.
I knew you would. I knew you would.
I guess that if you're in a band like that and you're sharing all that money with all those guys, it's hard not to go, well, Justin Timberlake left and he's bigger than ever and he gets all the money. I get why.
Yeah, but he's Justin Timberlake and the rest of them aren't.
And most people aren't, right. Most entertainers aren't, exactly. But I get why that would be tempting. It'd be a pain in the ass to be in a boy band, too, by the way, I think.
Said it for years. Absolutely. Bad news for the Kings. I'm sure we all heard it over the weekend. Arrested Friday, just one of their star players, Jarrett Stoll. Ha ha! Not good, though. He was at Wet Republic, the pool party at the MGM Grand. He was arrested on suspicion of possessing controlled substances like cocaine and ecstasy. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that's a felony in Nevada. So he was booked and released on $5,000 bail. And, of course, the Kings are... actively gathering the facts, figuring out what's going to happen with that. But no good comes out of pool parties in Vegas.
That's true. But a lot of good does.
But a lot of good does. Right, Kevin? It's true. Oh, and something else that happened over the weekend that has people kind of questioning it. We all know that Bobby Christina, Bobby Brown, and Whitney Houston's daughter, she has been in a coma for roughly 3 months. Well, Bobby Brown was on stage in Dallas on Saturday, and he said, Bobby is awake. She's no longer on life support. Crowd erupts. Everyone's cheering. And then her aunt Tina Brown went to Facebook and said, yes, she woke up. She's no longer on life support. God is good. Thanks for your prayers. Still a process, but she's going to be okay. And now a Brown family spokesperson tells people, as far as I know, there's been no change.
Oh, so why would they say those things?
Not really sure. So I'm sure something's going to happen maybe later today. Another person will come out with a definitive answer.
Official statement?
Just don't know.
People were like, what?
Right? And I read that and I was all, huh? And then I was like, ah.
And then she goes, what?
And then I go, huh? he was like, what? And I'm all, no. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? Jessica Lange, she is a spry 66. George Takei, 78.
Oh, my.
There you are. We've got Shamar Moore from Criminal Minds, 45. Carmen Electra, 43. Crispin Glover, he is 51 years old.
What do you got for me? Give me some Crispin.
I got Clowny Clown Clown.
Yeah, you do.
I don't remember Clowny Clown Clown. Let me hear some of that.
This is real.
I was walking on the ground. I didn't make a sound. Then I turned around and I saw a clown. Had a frown. Stood on a mound. Started barking like a hound. When I came to it, I found he showed me something that was brown. So we became great friends, and late in life, got sick.
Okay.
More?
I think that's enough. We got to get him together with the I'm a Hamster guy, though. Those are the two that need to work together, him and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, can you imagine the hamster clown songs?
That'd be awesome.
That's some good stuff. And Joey Lawrence. Whoa. He's turning 39 years old today. I will never do that impression again.
Good.
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, back tomorrow with the Showbiz Beat.
Kim Kardashian's book is number one on the Amazon pre-sale list. So what?
Why?
We brought this up briefly on Friday, but I think tomorrow is the day we're going to be looking for you if you are the person who bought that book. Because
we're going to be like, what?
Somebody out there must be an actual fan of Kim Kardashian. And isn't just hate watching the show. Someone actually has to like them. You don't put your money down to buy that book unless you like her and you're a fan. We want to find out who and why on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Plus, thanks for that tweet, Bean. We'll be back tomorrow. And we have John Cryer in the studio. He has written a book. His memoir is about 2.5 Men and everything going on with Charlie Sheen in his life. It's called So That Happened. And we'll talk to him tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.